Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. It's James Kernan with Kernan Consulting. And I've got an exciting guest today. I'm going to introduce Tim in just a minute, but Tim founded his first MSP in 2002 and had successfully built that up to over 7 million of annual recurring revenue, including 2 million in cybersecurity services. So that experience led to the creation of his now consulting firm, Cyber Trends. Tim's based up in the Canada area, and he provides coaching and mentorship programs for MSPs and other tech companies worldwide. So welcome, Tim, to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to see you, and it's great to be on the thriving podcast that you created.
Yeah, thank you. You bet. It's good to see you again. And a little background on Tim. I get the great pleasure of traveling all around the country, and I go to conferences, and one of our mastermind conferences late last year, I ran into Tim, and he and I had formed a professional relationship online, talked a lot about transactions and consulting, met him in person. And what I'll say is I've met a lot of industry consultants, and some of them get it and some of them don't. Okay. And Tim gets it. Tim's a smart guy, very successful, and really liked what he had to say. We have very similar styles and belief systems, so invited him on the program. And today we're actually going to talk about opportunities for MSPs in 2026. Okay. So before we do that, Tim, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us, you know, really how, tell the audience how you got into the technology channel.
Great question. Yeah, again, excited to be here. You know, back in early 2000s, I was working for Microsoft, and my business partner phoned me up. My then business partner phoned me up and said, "You want to start a company?" And of course, I had no idea to do that. It was a long time ago. And so we just started this business, and, you know, we just figured it out along the way. I was never smart enough to go to school, so I start companies. And so we started it in 2002, built relationships, built trust. Acquired new customers through relationships. Yep. And I bootstrapped it to about 3.4 million in revenue. A lot of it unstructured, unorganized, doing outside of our desks. We ended up losing $750,000 in 2014. And that was kind of at the point I knew that I wasn't smart enough to do this on my own. So I figured out very early on through a book called Good to Great. You have to put the right people in the right seats in the right bus. But if anybody's been through that, you know what I'm talking about. And so we rebuilt it back up from 2.6 million and hired a sales rainmaker, so to speak, to work alongside me. And we took it up to $7 million, you know, in about 20 years. And so it was a journey, and it was the school of hard knocks. And, you know, you don't get to go to MSP school back then to figure out how to build the fundamentals of a business. And so so I got out of it. My business partner and I decided to part ways, and I sold my shares. And I just realized I have 25 years of real world experience in my head, and I wanted to send the elevator back down, so to speak, to help other MSPs that are kind of trying to get to that million to two to three to five and share the knowledge that I've learned along the way. And so I feel it's my, you know, as I'm coming into the back half of my career, it's my obligation, and I feel it's my duty to help the other people grow and scale. And I get excited about when I hear success stories in the MSP space, whether they're my clients or not. And I just hold value and appreciation for the community.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Great story. And I love what you're passionate about is really giving back to the channel that's given you so much. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I feel the same way. So tell us real quick a little bit more about your consulting firm and the services that you have, and then we're going to dig into opportunities in 2026 for MSPs.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I do, and I do it a little bit differently. I have a more of a mindset process around buying back time and figuring out ways to work on the business. And so there's a couple avenues or angles that I've approached it at. You know, when I talked to 68 MSPs last year, 65 of them said they have a lead generation problem. And it's really not a lead generation problem. So what I've done is I've created what we call, or I call, a Content Machine Framework Program, which is an MSP boot camp for MSPs trying to restructure and regrow and build fundamentals and foundation of the business. And that includes personal branding, building trust through personal brand, creating content, and creating packages and things like that. The other program that I have is a 12-week elite, kind of cradle to grave, not kind of, it is cradle to grave. It's like goals, mission, values, how to work on the business, operational maturity, packaging, you know, and then moving in through that, the operational maturity process of delivering into more of a cybersecurity strategy solution, packaging as well as bundling in it, the magical word AI that we all live in here every day. So it'll take an MSP between 1 and 10 million. It'll go through 12 weeks. And the really the vision of, is it, there's areas of that program that you're going to do well. And if there's experience that I can check the box and help you have someone look from the outside in, you know, just to validate what you're doing. Or if there's an area like finances that you don't understand what a balance sheet is, or a P&L statement or cash flow and why that's important, we work on those things together. But what I've seen over 2025 with the number of customers that I have is I take the 8-week program and I take the 12-week program and I extend it into 26 weeks. And I do it's a longer term engagement. And the reason why I do that is it gives the flexibility to work through all areas of both programs to help grow and scale and identify areas that we work on. But it also allows them to have an extra 6 weeks of business consulting, advisory roles, you know, whether they want to move into an M&A activity, we can focus on that 1 week or 2 weeks. And so it allows us to build a relationship, build the machine, get it rolling, and help them get them on their way. So those are the kind of the three things that I do. And the 6-month program really has really produced some great results in 2025.
Love it. Love it. All right. Good job. Good work. So, hey, let's dig into opportunities that we mutually see in 2026. So the first one at the top of the stack, of course, is AI and automation. So what are you, I know you've got some tools that you use that you love. What are you seeing as opportunities for MSPs around AI and automation?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very big question. And what I'm seeing right now is the MSPs, they are looking to engage the AI delivery to help them improve efficiencies within the organization, their organization, which is great. I mean, at the end of the day, if we can have AI solve 15-minute password changes or printer problems, you're still going to need the human in the loop, so to speak, is what they say. You know, so 80% done by AI, 20% approved by a resource. But what it does is allow you to free up those resources to go out and generate, you know, revenue generating projects or billable projects, which are important. But what we're seeing, or what I'm seeing, is the more advanced MSPs are now moving that AI strategy to sell into their customer base. So it's like one to many as opposed to one to one. And so the things that were missing, the million to two to three or five, or maybe not an advanced MSP, is how do we go into a client, ask the right questions in a QBR? You don't have to solve the problem in the QBR, but you need to ask the question to uncover the problem, and then utilize AI to go in and sell and solve those low-hanging fruit problems where we can generate revenue very quickly. So, you know, one of my customers is using a 2-hour AI discovery session that they sell it for, whatever they sell it for, $500, $600, $700 and for the session, whatever it is. But out of a session, then you ask the right questions and then you can uncover opportunities to go in and sell. And I think that's the big vision and the big mission I'm pushing for my customers is, let's look at your customer base. If you have 85 customers, somewhere in there, there's going to be 30 to 40% of those customers who are already thinking or acting on or trying to figure out how to deliver AI to improve their efficiencies. And so we need to be the thought leaders to help them move through that discovery phase. And I honestly believe that an MSP can generate upwards of 30 to 40% additional revenue just on low-hanging fruit activities through their customer portfolio.
Yeah, I agree. So elaborate a little bit more. So I heard you say, you know, like an AI assessment, for example, you know, you sell it for $500. Is that essentially what they're doing, kind of as a lead magnet to with existing clients and prospects? They're just doing a simple AI assessment?
Yeah. Well, so I just talked to another group the other day. It's like, so my vision, so it's January, and I love January, December, January, not because of Christmas, but it's the time to reset. So it's like, hey, customer ABC, you know, we haven't had a chance to do a quarterly business review. Why don't we just kind of sit down at the end of January? Yep. And then when you have a scripted version of, okay, so if there's one thing you could change in 90 days, what would it be? And then they're going to go, oh, well, you know, this AI thing, I would really, and then you ask appropriate questions to get into more of, oh, well, I would love for HR and payroll and this to all work together and remove the human element of keying in things over the course of a 2-week period or whatever it is, right? So when you do that correctly in a QBR or just a general meeting with stakeholders, you start to uncover those opportunities. And then it's like, okay, well, would it be a bad idea if I send you over a couple of ideas to help solve that problem? And then they're going to go, yeah, for sure. Or they're going to go, yeah, that'd be great. And then you move that into an audit, right? So you can sell a discovery. This discovery goes, uncovers the opportunity, or the QBR uncovers the opportunity. But then you can go, okay, well, now that you're interested and I know there's interest, you know, would it be a bad idea if I put together an opportunity for an audit to see where it fits in the landscape of 2026? So there's a kind of a flow to that, right? It's like uncover the opportunity, create the audit. If you want to do a billable, great, that's probably a good idea. And then with the audit, then you can understand security, AI awareness, where their workflows are, how it all works. And then from there, you can build out solutions and strategies. And the other cool thing is a lot of MSPs are scared of this because they don't know how to build out the solution. That's fine. A lot of MSPs don't know how to do software development. So we find those right partners that we can white label with. We can find groups out there to represent cyber trends forward facing to the customer. But then I could use Kieran Consulting back-end AI strategy or solution delivery to make sure that we can generate revenue. And we create a little bit of a profit share. So it's similar to the SharePoint world where everybody wanted to dive into SharePoint back in 2010 or whatever it was, or 8. Yeah. A lot of people didn't know how to do that. And so lead with awareness, lead with outcomes, lead with questions and business outcomes, and then work backwards to solve the problem.
Yep. So so one thing before I move on, I want to talk a little bit about is training of your team with AI. And I feel like there's a huge skills gap right now. You know, the technology's advancing so quickly. And, you know, a rule of thumb I've always had, you know, great leaders, you know, set goals and expectations in writing with their team. Then they train their employees to meet and exceed their goals and expectations, right? They train them. And then you can hold them accountable to get the results that we're looking for. A lot of MSPs are notorious for, you know, set the goals and then expect the results, and we skip the training part. What are you seeing, if anything, of addressing the training gap of AI? You know, I know a lot of MSP business owners that I talk to, you know, they're doing stuff, but they're not really handing off to their employees, hey, I want you to go through these classes and get up to speed to help us, you know, deliver AI services.
Well, it's a great question. And so it really comes back to if you're going to go into the AI market, mm-hmm. if you don't understand your ideal customer profile, you can't build packages and tech stacks and stuff to sell to that individual group. So the business owner has to take time to work on the business and understand the direction of where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Right? So if their ICP is engineering and construction, then they need to focus on how to create either co-pilot AI strategies or N8N agents and workflows and stuff and things. But once you understand that direction, then you need to empower those resources and give them adequate time and attention to go out and focus on learning how to deliver that. Right. And if that's not in your wheelhouse to have, because your resources are running thin and you don't, and no one's interested, then that's where they reach out to individuals like you and I, or groups like you and I. Right. And I can't code an N8N thing, but I know lots of people that can. I know people that can do Copilot. There's lots of them out there. It's a matter of making that introduction. But ultimately, if you're going to build out AI agents and workflows and efficiencies in your organization to sell to your customers, somebody in your organization or a few people in the organization have to be able to champion that.
Yeah.
And it comes back to buying back time. It's like, okay, if I have my resource that I think Tim should be doing this, but Tim's basically running at 110%, what can we do to buy back time so we can offload resource tasks so that he then has the ability to focus on what the vision of the business is going forward around the AI strategy?
Yep. Yep. All right. Yeah. Good point. So, overall, what I heard is I think both, there's two things. One, bridge that skills gap by training up your team. You know, normally it's the business owner, but you have to have one or two champions that know this stuff to be able to talk this stuff. And then don't be afraid to partner, to subcontract. And that's a great way to scale your business. Those were some of the secrets to our success. Tim, I know you did that in your business and I did as well, you know, to bridge that skills gap and, you know, so you can say yes on opportunities instead of no, we're not ready. Right. So
one of the things that I was most proud of in building my $7 million MSP business is I was very good at staying in my own lane. And so we were doing $500,000 of SharePoint revenue, and I had a really great SharePoint partner. So we just did a revenue share on it. Everyone was successful. Everyone wins, right? So yeah. It's kind of the same concept. And the other thing that I'll mention just quickly is that for the MSP owners that want to get into this and or need to get into it, sorry, if like you can go on YouTube now and there is a constant hours and hours and hours of streaming on N8N and Copilot and AI strategies and stuff and things that you want a vision on. So I would encourage people that want to learn, like I walk every day or I'll go to the gym, I'll put a podcast on or I'll put a YouTube video on and I'll just go and listen to that stuff. Or when I'm driving, right? And so the ability to learn at least the fundamental foundation from a business owner goes, oh, that makes sense. That will work with that construction company that we have, or that'll work with the accounting company that we have. And so it spawns that idea to go, okay, now I start to see the value in what AI can do. How do I move this forward into the world of my customer portfolio and then deliver on those services?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I love it. All right. So another opportunity that we see out there is, you know, cybersecurity and compliance, you know, and that again is another huge area, right? You know, cybersecurity, compliance, AI plays into that. But we just talked about AI. So just big picture, what else are you seeing as opportunities, at least in your circles, around cybersecurity and compliance?
Well, as we all know, especially in the US, you know, CMMC is a huge play right now down in the States, right? And so, yeah, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of MSPs out there that tout cybersecurity, but they only do the tech stack. So the way I built my $2 million of recurring revenue and in my MSP is that I had VCISO services on my top line of my solution. And then VCISO drives compliance, and then compliance drives the tech stack. And that is a complete solution, right? So the VCISO guides the compliance framework, whether it's CMMC or NIST or whatever the version is, right?
Yeah.
And so I have a partner that we use. I use that has a platform that allows the MSP to do 80% of the work through that, again, the AI strategy. But the point of that is that you don't need to hire a $150,000 security compliance individual to go out and solve your customer problems. Like you know, if you have 25 healthcare clinics in Washington State, as an example, that all require HIPAA, you could use this platform or a group like myself to go in and help deliver those services, leveraging the platform that does 80% of the work, and then the human in the loop validates it, creates reports, and then delivers the reporting to the appropriate audience. And at the end of the day, most MSPs will have access to pen test vulnerability scans, EDR, SAT training, all that stuff, all the tech stack that drives the whole program. And so I would encourage MSPs, if they have an ICP direction to increase security services within their portfolio in 2026, to look at the holistic solution around VCISO, which drives compliance. And each of those are a line item bundled into a package, right? And each of them have different components that are required, but you can turn that into a very profitable service offering or solution if you do it right.
Yep. Yeah, the requirements for cybersecurity, compliance, CMMC, NIST, it's just tightening, and it's real. There's true accountability. And if you're doing business, for example, with government prime contractors, you need to either get your team trained up on it, or like we've talked about, outsource it with partners. There's a lot of strong compliance partners out there that can, you could white label their services, or you could keep it separate, but go in together. You know, that's another strategy that I see working really well, but there's a huge opportunity with both in 2026 for sure. So yeah, look at those partnerships.
I have three customers right now that are working with the technology that we just kind of spoke about. And I'm guiding them through that, right? So I help them. They use the platform. Platform's been around for 10 years. It's very well built. And so they're now starting to see the fruits of the labor around delivering. It's not as hard as you think it is to do that. And so, you know, if people are out there that are looking to do this and do this properly, it's one thing to go invest in technology and try and sell it, but you can actually sell the technology before you invest in it. You just have to have the roadmap or the delivery mechanisms and the resources to do that. And in this world that we live in today, you know, again, we can use a lot of automation to deliver it. And then the human element is really the closing package or the closing mechanism around how we sell it and deliver it.
Yep. So the third topic I just wanted to bring up, and this is probably the hardest for MSP business owners, because most MSP business owners are highly technical, okay? And you talk tech stack all the time, and we don't talk business. And the topic really is what I call client expectations or proving your value, mm-hmm. right? And this is, you know, Tim, really right up your alley. You know, clients, I think today are really demanding proof of ROI. They want business continuity. They want more security, but they want business outcomes, right? Yeah. And, you know, and this kind of plays into the marketing, the message, the messaging of the team when you go talk to customers and prospects. But how can MSPs get better at proving their value?
I'm pretty excited about this question, actually.
So
one of the things I'm 51 years old, and in the last 2 years, I really dove into understanding how to build trust and how to build a personal brand. And so what's happening, you know, 10 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, you throw up a website and you tell the world that you do the thing that you do, right? That's great. But what happens now is with the whole expansion of social media, people buy from people that they trust. They don't necessarily buy from companies anymore, unless you're Apple, Google, or Microsoft. And so how do we build trust? Well, we build trust by posting content which is directed to solve the ideal customer profile's problem. And so if your prospect has ransomware and you have content to show, not necessarily that you're a cybersecurity expert on ransomware, but how you solved other people's ransomware problems, they're more likely to engage in your content and continue to follow you before they actually engage to buy. And so the average person needs 11 touch points, at least that's what it was a couple of months ago. It could be more or less. 11 touch points before they remember you. And so we talked about this when we met in down south in Newport. And it's important to have not only using the social media free billboard that's out there to show the world what you do, but it's who you are. And I'll give you an example. So as you know, I post a lot of content on LinkedIn, just like you. And so a gentleman out of Vancouver, Canada, followed me. And we got in a little bit of a warm conversation on social media on LinkedIn about what I do. And then he went over to Instagram and he followed me there. And he saw that I go to the gym and I hike with my kids. And I'm a real person. I'm a father. I'm passionate about business. I'm passionate about life. I hike, I work out. I'm big into health. I love my kids to death. And so that was the tipping point of, that individual reaching out to me, who is now one of my clients. And the point of the whole story is we need to be able to create a personal brand, and it's not just about solving business problems. I want to know that James is a really good guy. He's active in the community. He does his M&A. He does his coaching. He helps people. It aligns with my vision and my goals and my morals. And so when people see that, it becomes a lot easier to get a call from Florida or Vancouver, Canada or Australia going, hey, I'm interested in your services. I just got one this morning from Idaho. And it's like, I really like what you're doing on social media. Can we chat? And I'm like, yeah, of course. And so the point of back to your question is how do we kind of continue to grow and create value? You have to create a brand, a personal brand, and that creates the trust. And great through the relationship, trust gets built and it becomes easier to sell. Yeah. And so I encourage everybody in the MSP community to get out and start building a personal brand. It doesn't have to be perfect. And part of the offering that I have is this content machine framework that shows you how to go through the different steps to do all of that stuff to get rolling. And so four of my customers, within the first week of them doing the content machine framework, they went from 6 hours of content down to, I think it was 40, average of 45 minutes to create 5 pieces of content on LinkedIn for the week. They do it on Sundays, watching football, whatever it is, it's done. But now I can start to see the brand starts rolling. They're starting to get a lot more likes. They're starting to get a lot of awareness. And so I think it's a major, it's an important skill, whether the owner does it or not. It's a very important skill to show the world who you are and the story that you're telling and why I started Cybertrends or whatever it is.
Yeah. Great point. There was a lot there. Yeah, just a couple key golden nuggets I want to share. You know, one, you said people do business with people. Couldn't agree more. They absolutely do. There was an article I read last year, maybe the year before. I think it was something like 94% of decision makers, before they buy something, they'll Google or research online that company or that person that they're working with. So the old saying used to be every sale starts on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Now I think every sale starts online, right? Well, because you've got to create that brand, and that's what people are looking for.
Well, yeah, it's no different than when we met on the phone. The very first thing I do on any type of lead prospect person that wants to work with me, I go to LinkedIn and I look at their profile, and then I can see right away, okay, everything aligns. They're, you know, they posted regularly, they do whatever it is. And so I say this to all my customers. I said, if somebody's interested in your services, if they go to LinkedIn to search on you, not your website, they want to see what you do. And if you haven't posted in 9 months, you've 7 seconds to have them stop scrolling to the next person on LinkedIn. And so it's the very first thing I always do is I go to LinkedIn and then what I also do is if I'm trying to acquire that as a prospect, I'll look at the information that they provided and then I'll help create content to solve some of their challenges or their problems.
Yep. Right. Yep. So, I love it. Hang on. Yeah. Good stuff. But, and then kind of in summary, I would just remind everybody, make sure you're having a business conversation with the prospects and the clients. People do look at, you know, just like me, I make investments into technology. I make investments into people. I don't want to just spend money. I need a reason why. So I need to either make more money or save more money. And that's actually something I used to tell prospects. It's like, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's do an assessment or let's have a meeting. I got to figure out how to make you more money or save you more money with the use of people, process, and technology. And if I can't, then I'm wasting our time. So,
And the other thing, coming from the other side of the table, if I'm a company and an MSP is talking to me, as a business owner, do I care if it's a Cisco or a Meraki or a Fortinet firewall? I don't care about that. You had mentioned outcomes in the original question there. Yeah. And so when you're dealing with stakeholders, blinky lights and sirens stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's like, okay, what is the outcome that we want? And then we work backwards from that.
Yeah.
And so we need to start thinking, the MSP owners need to start thinking at a business level to create an outcome. And what an outcome does when it's done correctly, it creates a better experience for your customers, which then keeps you, you know, a little bit tighter and latched on to that customer a little bit more.
again, they don't care if it's a Cisco or a Chevy or a Ford. The outcome is this, and that outcome creates the experience that they're looking for. And so everyone's becomes more happy, and then you become more stickier in the organization, and you're not just a technology partner, you're a business partner.
My business partner. Exactly. Exactly. All right, cool. Tim, hey, how can our listeners get in touch with you if they've got questions, they want to work with you? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Great question. So I'm all over LinkedIn. You can find me, Tim Thompson, CTI, on LinkedIn. I have a cell phone number, 250-859-6294. And if you need to find me in another direction, you can find me on Instagram, or you can reach out to James directly and he'll be happy to share my contact information.
All right. There you go. Well, good stuff. Well, hey, thanks for being on the show today. As you could tell, both Tim and I are very excited about 2026. It's a huge opportunity. I think the economic climate in 2026 is going to be a lot easier than what we've seen in the previous years. And with the evolving AI technologies that continue to roll out, I think this is your year. So good luck, everybody, and thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.